Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right here on Liberty Works Radio Network. And this is Tom Novoulos, your host, and I am so delighted to be back with you. We've taken the last couple of weeks and reran some of the other programming because I've had some Murphys visit me. And that doesn't mean my friends the Murphys. That is the Murphyisms, and all of you who are homeowners and live life, all of that, you well understand that things happen and cause us to be engaged in ways that we have to take care of that which is necessary within our lives. But I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back here on YouTube with you as well. And at the Samuel Adams Returns channel on YouTube and the archives for both the radio program and the video are up on SamuelAdamsReturns.net. So if you're looking to see this as well as hear it again, those that are on Liberty Works Radio Network, you can go to SamuelAdamsReturns.net. And hear what's going on and see my smiling face, as well as what you'll be able to do is yesterday on the 4th of July, Mr. Samuel Adams himself was, and you'll see the picture pop in here in YouTube. It'll overlay right about now in that Mr. Samuel Adams was in Findlay, Ohio with George Washington and Benjamin Franklin at a very wonderful time of patriotism and just a great parade, great time. Sure appreciate Don for putting it all on. He's just an interesting fellow and a great patriot. Loves our country and loves our foundation. So talking about that, there's a lot of the continuing insanities going on, continuing things that the media in general will not talk about. I have to say that I have been reinvigorated by none other than the guy with his brain tied, or half his brain at least, tied behind his back, Rush Limbaugh. Kathy has been taking and spending time catching up on the program. And you know what? Although he does this extensive three-hour commentary, he's always spot on. At least that's what I've heard in the times that I've sat down and listened to him. But what we're seeing, not only, and I am just disgusted with all the media out there, including Fox, including Hannity, including all of the others. I think the only one that I'm remotely interested in listening to is Mark Levin, because he will talk about constitutionalism and that we have to return back to foundational principles. Hear from a little bit from Judge Judy, or Jeanine rather, not Judge Judy, that's a different court thing, but Judge Jeanine Pirro. And, you know, Tucker, he hits on some strong stuff, but again, we got to get back to the fundamentals. And I want to mention this from a Thomas Sowell perspective. So people keep going, well, what's going on? What's happening in all this regard? I've told you about it before. This is a great read. If you take the time to read it, it's a deep read. It's from Thomas Sowell's Intellectuals in Society. And he gets into this chapter and what we have going on and have had going on for 100 years now are arguments without arguments. And he uses a quote from, I consider, a communist, socialist, whatever you want to call him. He was an economist by the name of Schumpeter, or Schumpeter, depending on how you pronounce it. This quote was very interesting, and I think it's the attacks on Jim Jordan right now that are happening, as well as the continuing attacks on Trump and anyone that is a patriot. Schumpeter says this: we fight for and against not men and things as they are, but for and against the caricatures we make of them. Well, that's kind of a perverted quote from what I look at in Ephesians, where Paul talks about that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against those spiritual beings and that in heavenly places or high places. So this is always about a spiritual warfare. That's what our founders understood. But some of the things that are in here that he talks about, he being Thomas Sowell, in looking at these intellectuals with opposing visions are usually well equipped in the terms of mental ability to argue their respective beliefs and thereby enlighten others while debating each other. This sounds like CNN, MSNBC, you know, so on and so forth. That's all they are. What is remarkable, however, is how many substitutes for doing that have been found. Again, the general media, everything that's going on with that. While the conflicts between the tragic vision and the visions of the anointed can lead to innumerable arguments on a wide range of issues, these conflicts can also lead to presentations of views that take the outward form of an argument without the inner substance of facts or analysis. In other words, arguments without arguments. Everything that we're hearing and seeing, and this goes even back to the foundation, are arguments with no substance. And when we do find arguments with substance, it comes to the next point that he brings out in this chapter, is simplistic arguments. So when you come back, and we see so many do with facts, reality, thought process, analysis, many among the intelligentsia dismiss opponents' arguments as simplistic, not as a conclusion from counter-evidence or counter-arguments, but in lieu of counter-evidence or counter-arguments. I think that's, you know, when Tucker gets them all cranked up, you know, you get some of that. That's for sure. He'll do that. So they don't have anything except, oh, you're simplistic or whatever. So it's very effective debating tactic. It's a very effective debating tactic. With one word, it preempts the intellectual high ground without offering anything substantive. Using that word insinuates, rather than demonstrates, that a more complex explanation is more logically consistent or more empirically valid. But the fact that one argument may be simpler than another says nothing about which argument reaches conclusions that turn out to be validated by empirical evidence more often. And he goes on to talk about, you know, what is it too simple to substitute? All of these various ideas and thoughts that those who think that they're smarter than you take and will contrive and utilize. And as the snowflakes do, they argue for the sake of argument and determine and push that what you have to say is not important because it's too simple. It just can't be that meaningful, or, you know, whatever other single definition they attempt to invalidate the truth by virtue of making their false ideologies and values greater than what they have. They have nothing. They have nothing. And so we're seeing that over and over and over again, which is nothing new. It's just nothing new. As I always say, there's nothing new under the sun. Evil has no validity, but they sure do argue, kick, and scream a lot. My goodness. Maybe that's why Jesus said that in hell there's going to be a lot of screaming and gnashing of teeth and grinding of teeth and moaning and all of that. That's what a lot of these leftist, communist, socialist, liberal, globalist are all about today. Wow, that's a picture for you, isn't it? Well, some of the other ideas that we take off with here Thomas Sowell having to say, we go back to what Brutus would have to say about the Supreme Court. And we're hearing all of these arguments against the picks within the context of the Supreme Court. And what are they? They're empty arguments. They're exactly what we're just talking about, is that they have no validity. And they're just drumming up all of this nonsense. Whereas when we look at founders' original intent and what is constitutionally correct and what is structurally correct, I went through the founders' constitution, which I have all of those volumes. The one volume is missing relative to Article 3 because it's sitting on my counter where I've been reading and underlying it and looking at all of the historical basis on what has gone on in the courts, as well as I recommended to you before, is Dave Welty's book, Unfaithful Guardians, which talks about how the court has begun to destroy itself almost from its inception. I talked about that in a very successful time we had 2 weeks ago was the seminar, I believe, Kath. It was 2 weeks ago. We had a number of people that attended that for the new book when we look at From Covenant to the Present Constitution. And I talk about the courts and the manipulation of the courts from its very inception in the book, in the seminar as well. But what we are looking at is we are looking at evil. And I'm going to just call it as we're looking at communists. We're looking at those that are using the Hegelian dialectic, which, you know, that's not how Thomas Sowell identified it. But when you come to empty arguments that are circular or trying to get to a proposition that manipulates everything else, well, that's all part of the Hegelian dialectic and that methodology. So we're seeing that. We're seeing the Democrats taking and trying to manipulate the argument, to manipulate the discussion from that whole point of view. And that point of view is emptiness. They're empty. And that comes down to what yesterday, Independence Day, was all about. The emptiness of those that have no idea of the source of true liberty, that then is where tyranny begins to take over. And what we have seen, and when you go through the Declaration of Independence, oh, by the way, I got a segue just for a second. It just, you know, popped into my head, is that did you see that where Facebook took and whacked out a whole section of the Declaration of Independence by that one group that every year has posted the Declaration of Independence, and they put it up there as saying they whacked it out because of hate speech? And then when it was appealed, obviously, Facebook then restored that post of the Declaration of Independence and made the excuse that, oh, they didn't look, you know, it was some excuse they made anyway. Go check it out. So this is what we see, is what we're seeing is these enemy of our nation. And that's what I call Facebook and all of the other, I guess others are calling them the masters of the universe down there in Silicon Valley. I call them the Silicon Valley communist. They hate America. They love the idea of taking your money and enslaving you with everything that they gather on you. But when it comes down to what's truth and how do we work through that truth, they'd rather destroy it unless you continuously challenge them. You know, I'll tell you what, folks, the best way to impact those people, which, you know what, I don't believe we have the gumption to do, but I'm going to talk about what it's going to take to impact those people as we come back into the next segment, because we've got, you know, just a little bit of less than a minute left. But Sam Adams talked about the Declaration of Independence, and in talking about that, what he said is that with the Declaration of Independence, we have restored the sovereign to his place in over and over governance. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back in the next segment of Samuel Adams Returns, Those Anti-Federalists. Yes, they did. They absolutely got it right here on Liberty Works Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists got it right here on Liberty Works Radio Network, where liberty does work for you. And yes, this is Tom Navolas, your host, live with you here. And we're taking in back in the saddle again, and I'm so delighted to be here after dealing with all the Murphyisms. And I do want to encourage you to contribute to Liberty Works Radio Network, because it is the place that is fighting very strongly from those truth principles for liberty. And I'm so thankful that they have me here on this network, and I appreciate it very, very much. Now, if you want to see me actually on in front of you, if you want, on your computer or on your TV, you can take and go to YouTube, to the Samuel Adams Returns channel, or you can find that link to these programs in the archives at samueladamsreturns.net. So when we finished up with the last segment, I was going to talk to you about a couple of things. It's amazing, the program's kind of dynamically changing as we're spending this time together. So yesterday, the 4th of July, I mentioned to you in the last segment that Facebook actually whacked out a section of the Declaration of Independence that this organization has been posting every year for whatever amount of time they've been on Facebook. It took them appealing to get Facebook to put that back into the Declaration. Can you imagine that? They just whacked out this section of the Declaration of Independence from somebody's post. So it's interesting on how powerful their algorithms are. And we're going to talk about how you impact them from Sam Adams' perspective. Exactly, from Sam Adams' perspective, and what happened across all of the colonies. But you know something? I doubt that there's anybody out there that has the guts to do it besides me. You know, because I'm holding true to my values, principles, and everything relative to Samuel Adams, which means is that you will never, ever, ever, ever see again a promo about this program on Facebook. In fact, within the next month, within the next several weeks, I'm going to be removing the Samuel Adams page, from Facebook. I'm going to be removing all of my content from Facebook. So I've got about 1,500 connections on Facebook. I'm going to let them know I'm going away, because I'm tired of Facebook and these communists in Silicon Valley affecting us. I did talk to you before. I took it down about eaglefirepost.com. That's a place that I'm going to. I started that environment specifically to give you a real place to go to develop community and content. And we're doing something else with Liberator Media in what we're going to present. So you're going to have to pay attention at the SamuelAdamsReturns.com site, blog, and on YouTube to figure out what we're doing, because I'm tired of Facebook. And that goes to the whole thing. When we're talking about liberty and we're talking about yesterday, I will bring in shortly something that was posted, that a great Samuel Adams article. I put it up on Twitter. I put it up on LinkedIn. Those are a couple places where I am staying at the moment, on other social media. So you can take a look there. But Sam Adams, this is what he said on August 1st. Now, this was the day before. Okay, so the Declaration of Independence was released on July 4th for everyone to review. Its actual signature date is, after it went through the Committee of Style and all of that, its actual signature date was August 2nd. Samuel Adams was asked to give his perspective and view on the Declaration of Independence, and he did so on August 1st on a rather long speech that he gave. And so here you have August 1st in Philadelphia, pretty hot. So he goes through and talks about some things, but here's where I want to start with. He says, "Truth loves an appeal to the common sense of mankind. That's what we're searching for, truth. That's what the millennials are looking for, truth. They're starting to figure this out. You know, the Z generation are starting to figure out, and that's why you have so many people going to libertarianism, because they're trying to find out that truth. Sam Adams says it. Truth loves an appeal to common sense of mankind. Your unperverted understanding can best determine on subjects of a practical nature. Oh my goodness. You know, anyway, I'm going to read it instead of giving my commentary as I do. He said that the positions and plans which are said to be above the comprehension of the multitude may be always suspected to be visionary and fruitless. He who made all men hath made the truths necessary to human happiness above obvious. No, let me reset that one because it's important. I read it wrong. Got my glasses off even though the print's big. He who made all men hath made the truths necessary to human happiness obvious to all. You get that? Anyway. Our forefathers threw off the yoke of popery and religion. For you is reserved the honor of leveling the popery in politics. They opened the Bible to all and maintained the capacity of every man to judge for himself in religion. Are we sufficient for the comprehension of the sublimest supernatural truths and unequal to the material and temporal ones? Heaven hath trusted us with the management of things for eternity, and man denies us ability to judge of present or to know from our feelings the experience that will make us happy. You can discern, says they, that being that political class, that elitist, the intelligentsia, this was Parliament, the Tories, all of that, they. You can discern, hear it today, hear it on the media, hear it everywhere in your newspapers. You can discern, they say, objects in distant and remote, but cannot perceive those within your grasp. Let us have the distribution of present goods and cut out and manage as you please the interest of futurity. No. This day, I trust, the reign of political Protestantism will commence. We have explored the temple of royalty and found that the idol we have bowed down to has eyes which see not, ears that hear not our prayers, and a heart like the neither millstone. We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men alone ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and with the propitious eye beholds his subjects assuming that freedom of thought and dignity of self-direction which he bestowed on them from the rising to the setting sun. May his kingdom come. You know, he goes on. And you know what? You can go look up this speech on whatever you use for a search engine. I recommend DuckDuckGo. But go look it up. Samuel Adams, August 1st, his speech on the Declaration of Independence. Read the whole thing because there's so much more in there. This is where he tells you, you know what? If you don't get what we're saying, you know, don't count yourself one of us. You know, let the chains fall upon you lightly, and so on. So, you know, those famous quotes that people only take a glimpse of. So what was Sam's idea that I'm talking about when it comes to everything? And you know what? This is the hardest thing to do. And it was extremely difficult for that time of our founders. When everyone began to understand the tyranny that was being pushed by Parliament, hello Congress, by the East India Trading Company through Parliament, hello globalist corporations and lobbyists influencing politics your local legislature as well as the national legislature, East India Company, you know what they did? They set up the whole idea of not buying stuff. It caused, you know, and this is where I think Donald Trump's doing a great job, because what it did is that if you say, no, I'm not going to buy that, no, I'm not going to use it. The most difficult thing was, you know, not for the guys so much, because they could produce what they needed on hops and whatever to take in and barley and so forth to have beer. It was very, very difficult for the women to give up their tea. And young girls and women decided that they would no longer buy tea. They would no longer buy cloth from England through the East India Trading Company. In fact, through all the colonies except for the Tories, what did they do? They did non-consumption. Non-consumption. Wow, isn't that amazing to do non-consumption? Can you non-consume Facebook? Can you non-consume some of those other areas of your life that you're consuming right now? What will it take to be American, buy American, facilitate the growth of American companies and corporations? You have to remember that I've talked to you about this before, that England, the Parliament, actually shut down the steel mills that we had here in America. Remember, we were doing iron ore. Even in Braintree, which is where John Adams was from, was a smelter. They smelted and they took and were producing their own iron ore here in Massachusetts, as well as in Virginia and a little bit in Georgia, but mostly Virginia, Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania was iron ore, coal, and bringing together and making their own iron, their own steel, if you will, not the steel that we know of today, but their own iron, sufficient to even make cannon and whatever. But more importantly was to make their own plowshares, to take and make their own implements for farming and shipping and all of that. Well, East India Trading Company, those globalists and the bankers back there in England didn't like any of that. So what'd they do? They had Parliament pass legislation that shut it all down. You know what? That's what the globalists did in the U.S. markets. The bankers and the globalists in the industry, they shut it down. And the regulators here in America, they shut it down because they were being bought off by all these other entities. Now, we're seeing someone who is a pragmatist. I won't call him a constitutionalist because I don't know that he is. But at least from a perspective of a pragmatist, to understand what it takes to have this country function according to some general principles. Well, is he functioning according to the God-given general principles? No, not to that extent. And this is where the churches have to get back and get reformed internally to understand what governance is all about and self-governance is all about and these very fundamental principles that Sam Adams was talking about. So that's a challenge to you, is to get off that social media creature that has the intestinal fortitude to take and whack out a section of the Declaration of Independence that a patriotic group posted and called that, whatever they called it, I mentioned earlier, they call it hate speech. That's what it was. They called it hate speech. Go look that up. You can find it on different media sources that Facebook did that. So you go validate that. Well, yeah, they restored it, but you know what? It's time, ladies and gentlemen, for the new American Revolution. And that being, what do you do? Where are you on your principles? Where are you on your values? Where are you in even voting with your dollar? You know, it's up to you. We've become exactly what General Gage and others had said. And I'm going to come back on that when Samuel Adams returns in the next segment. Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The anti-federalists absolutely got it right, And Samuel Adams, he was the strongest, the leader of it all. Come on back, next segment in a couple minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns, those anti-federalists. Yes, they did. They absolutely got it right. And that being really a point is that the anti-federalists got it absolutely correct, and that the churches, you know what, they need reformation. Then the reformation has to be that which, you know, drives back, as I always say, to what was being preached, the cross first and foremost, but what was being preached about liberty during the foundational period of this nation. And I have to say that the majority of pastors out there just don't get it right. Some say, well, Tom, you're not a theologian. You know, what was really interesting to me, I mean, I did all of this research on covenant and really trying to understand covenant from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And in doing that so that I could put things together for the book From Covenant to the Present Constitution. In that homework, if you will, I did a little bit of reading. You know, trying to look at all these different perspectives. Let's say that little bit of reading is a lot of reading. So one of the things that, yes, I may not have, again, I don't have the law degree sitting here yet from the University of Virginia. I don't have a theological degree. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. I'm just not only a simple citizen, as our founders intended, but I think I'm, by the grace of God, learning to be that simple citizen that I would think Christ would want us to be. I've got a long way to go. That's very obvious in my life anyway, to me, and sometimes to Kathy too. She said she'll point out the obvious when it's obvious, which is a good thing because it's never maybe not that obvious to me, so I need it pointed out. So, you know, the obvious isn't always obvious, so if you got that one, you're good. But when we look at all of that, I found something here the other day that pops in. I'm following this one website right now. What was really interesting is that for July 4th, being yesterday, there was an article that came through on this one site. It's called Sam Adams to America. I told you so. I saw that headline on that article, and I'm going, holy Toledo. And Toledo's not holy, but holy Toledo, because I've been to Toledo. Whew, don't want to go there again. It's like, yes, Samuel Adams, I told you so. So this article is yesterday by a Dr. Joel McDermott. And, you know, if you follow me, you'll see the link on YouTube, and it'll be on the archive site at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. That'll link to this as well. But when I got talking about what I started to say on covenant, I was moving archives around, and I was moving archives off my computer because I was running out of disk space onto a new drive that I have. And when I moved my whole research of text, and you have to understand, I don't read a lot of modern people because I think that they're goofy, you know, just flat out. They're goofy, all right? So I read the reformers. I read those people, mid-1800s, some of them, not all of them. I read those that are more reform-minded. I don't go chasing after a lot of the, even the 1800s pastors, because I think they were really screwed up America, especially those that have done this social justice, social gospel thing. They've really screwed us up. But those that are out there that are within, especially the reformers, and that's why you really dig in on government. And just a few, like I said, there's a few moderns there that are interesting. But when I moved my archive over, here's the point, all right? Here's the point I'm trying to make. I had 7,800 books and articles going back to the beginning of the Reformation. And I've read about 65% of those all the way through, and the others I've referenced. So I'm not that smart as all of these people with all these degrees, but I do know how to read. And it was interesting because for the seminar, I did find that Spurgeon quote that I really, really like. I think if there's anything about Spurgeon, I really like his quote about those who read. You know, if you don't read, you know, you're never going to be quoted. If you don't read, you know, just a number of different things that he says. But the real bottom line is you got to read to have any understanding of many things and reread and focus on what you read. I do a lot of rereading on books and articles and different things like that to help. It's the only way you're going to get it. So Sam Adams, I told you so, Samuel. I mean, it validates, interestingly, by just Dr. Joel McDermott validates this program, validates everything that I'm doing, because he goes through and he was finishing up at a conference and somebody asked the question, at what point did things go wrong in America? Now, he had in mind, because apparently from this article, they had just finished talking about Abraham Lincoln and states' rights and what was happening, you know, during the Civil War and all of that. And so the anticipation by all of the people in this lecture that this gentleman was speaking at, they were expecting that the Civil War would be the answer. The Civil War would be the answer. But no. He came out in his lecture and he says, right at the beginning. Right at the very beginning. Interesting in here, he says, and this is what the Anti-Federalists were talking about, is that the Constitution came forward from Madison and Hamilton in particular, basically using the leftist language. Everything's in disarray right now. We have to expediently make a change. We got to hurry up and do it. We have to hurry up and do it. Okay, they did. You know, go back and look. What was the beginning to the end of the convention that brought forth the Constitution? And don't forget about the several people that refused to sign it for different reasons, some, you know, withholding it, but especially the New York delegation and Yates, who then wrote as Brutus and then talked specifically about the Supreme Court, and the court was going to be the grand challenge of tyranny, or should I say the grand poobah of tyranny in America. You know, we had Thomas Jefferson talk to that point. But it was really, really interesting in that Dr. McDermott was quoting was out of Candidus. You've heard me do that. I mean, on YouTube, I do a whole thing on Candidus and talk about his whole speech there. I'm probably going to have to do another one of those one of these days, because there's several of them on Candidus. He talks about the judicial backdoor, which Candidus talked about, and then Brutus talked about definitely in there. He talks about what Marshall did, and then what happened in McCulloch versus Maryland in 1824. I talk about that in the book and the seminar. So I'm going through what this guy's talking about here in this article, and I'm going, holy smokes, I know he didn't read the book. This guy's really smart, but he gets it. And, you know, I don't know his background. I think he's a pastor, you know, reformed-minded kind of guy. And I'm sitting here going, whoa, this guy really gets it. And to be able to read Candidus and to go through those and quote them in such a way that it makes a lot of sense, you know, the Constitution of 87 was very problematic. That's why the Anti-Federalists, and Sam Adams in particular, demanded that there would be a Bill of Rights. The assumption that the federal government would be all this wonderful and preserve your rights was garbage, and it's proving out to be today. And we've seen that the Supreme Court has absolutely perverted the Bill of Rights by using the 14th Amendment as it was not intended. Okay? So you had a bunch of people with their own ideologies, and even more so now in the 20th century, and now continuing for the most part in the 21st century, these ideologues that are communists sitting on the courts sitting in the courts, that they are. Ladies and gentlemen, they hate America. They knew and learned, you know, they're the ones that read the Anti-Federalist Papers to the extent that, you know, they know how to take America apart, because the Anti-Federalists pointed out every flaw in the Constitution. You got to understand that. So I think what he talks about here is that, you know, very few people nowadays even take and read the Federalist Papers, let alone the Anti-Federalist Papers. You hear me say that all the time. It's not that they're hard to read. Come on, folks. That was common language for the day. I can't help that the school systems dumbed us down. Don't you think maybe I can read their stuff and understand it? It doesn't take that long to go back and forth and read it, maybe even several times, to understand what the words have to say. And if you don't get it, man, I got to give you a secret. I'm going to give you this secret. The secret is there's this thing called a dictionary, you know? Yeah. And if you can get a Webster's Dictionary, you know, prior to, you know, the early 1900s, even better. And then if you can't get the dictionary, you know what? There's other writings of other people that help explain some of those words and concepts and precepts that are in there. Oh, I didn't tell you that, yeah, and all my original and my founding documents and articles and all of that, you know, when I move that file, there's about 15,000 different books and records and all of that that I have. And I guarantee you, I've read 80% of that stuff. So, made my head hurt when I started realizing the information there. Do I remember all that stuff? Heck no. But it gives us a context from which to work with. Ladies and gentlemen, this article, I'll tell you what, yeah, Sam Adams, he got it right. Candidus, you know what? He'd be spanking us again today. Because Sam Adams, as you heard back in the first and second segment, he was a man of God. And he said, what? The Declaration of Independence this day does what? Restores the sovereign. And he wasn't talking about, obviously, restoring the king. No, in restoring the sovereign, he was talking about restoring who? Jesus Christ on the throne, the sovereign of all. You see, that's who Jesus is. He went to sit at the right hand of the Father, and everything is his. And that's one of the things that this Mr. McDermott finishes the whole article with, is that it has to come to our personal repentance. It has to come to us recognizing who Jesus Christ is as sovereign and Lord. And guess what? I don't care who you are or what you believe, you're going to recognize Jesus as sovereign someday. Sometime, some point. And one of the things that I like that Sam Adams was talking about here, that he reigns in heaven and with his propitious eye beholds his subjects assuming that freedom of thought and dignity of self-direction which he bestowed on them. You see, that's in the Declaration of Independence. It is all our rights, everything belongs to God Almighty under the kingship of Jesus Christ. You know what? Our political leaders in America, for the most part, don't recognize that anymore. You know, something that Sam Adams talked about, he said that all politics are religious, and how true that is. All education is religious as well. So what religion do you have? Do you have humanism? I know on this network, you know, there may be a lot of believers in what the Bible has to say is truth. But the reality and the fact is most people don't. And our political leaders, for the most part, don't. So I think that's where the churches have to do their job and get back to getting reformed to the cross and understanding for us to have good governance. We have to have good understanding of Christ on the throne, as Sam Adams talked about, and as we return next week here on Liberty Works Radio Network.